All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable with Rick Delgado. Exclusively on All Business Media.
And welcome to All Business Media, where it is all business all the time. And I'm your host, Rick Delgado. And welcoming back to the program, lovely lady based out of San Francisco, California, owner at Soul's Body. You can reach out to her a couple different ways. She's got a great website called AuthenticMovement-BodySoul.com, or I believe it's TinaStromstead.com, right, Tina?
Yes.
Either way, it's going to get you to the same website, TinaStromstead.com. That's TinaStromstead.com. You can also reach her by phone, 415-668-7857. Or like I said, go to that website, and you already heard her in the background. Welcome her back, Tina Stromstedt. Thank you so much for joining us, Doc. How are you?
Thank you, Rick. I'm really good.
All right. Well, thank you for taking time out of your day to join us. Now, before we get started, I know you've been with us before, but we always have that opportunity of new people hearing us, hearing you for the first time. So do me a favor. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you do as the owner at Soul's Body.
Okay. Thank you. Well, Soul's Body Work is a term that I came up with because it felt like it encompassed a lot of the different elements that I try to integrate in my work. So I work both as a Jungian analyst. So that's the work of Carl Jung, who is a protege of Sigmund Freud, who worked a lot with dreams, the archetypes, the deep unconscious, tried to get more to the roots of issues and not just to deal with the symptoms. I also teach and practice something called authentic movement, which is a form of dance therapy. It's also used as meditation, a source for creative work. I can come back to that if you want. So that's something that I teach and do when I'm training therapists, when I'm working with patients, and for my own kind of centering. Then there's something called embodied alchemy, which is a way of taking an ancient map of transformation that Jung studied for about the last 30 years of his life. And alchemy is something that has a deep, deep history in the world across cultures and kind of paints a picture of stages of transformation and healing. Because it's ancient and because it's cross-cultural, it's been successful, you know, for a very long period of time.
Right.
And went underground and then has kind of come up again. So I'm integrating a lot of work with words, the usual kind of things that you do in talk therapy, which is really important and helps people get to know their family patterns, their relational patterns, the things they stumble on. But I also really look to the body to contribute about feelings and images and partially or maybe completely forgotten memories or bits of dreams that the person is less aware of. So it's the contribution of the unconscious through dreaming and creativity and through the body, in addition to what the ego thinks about the self and thinks the way we should be.
Right.
So that's kind of a lot of information, but those are some of the elements and some of kind of the roots of it.
Right. Now what's going on in our unconscious mind so important?
Because the ego, let's say, and by ego, for me and I think for Jungians and for many people, we use it in a positive way, not like an ego inflation or that you're too ego-driven.
Right.
But rather that part of the self that is forming an identity that can create boundaries and have a perspective and learn. And it's a kind of filter between the inner world of the unconscious and one's deepest personal feelings, sensations, and experiences, and the outer world, a kind of, it's not exactly a skin, but it's like an orienting part of the self. So if you have a lot coming up inwardly, the ego can decide, how much of this do I share, you know? Or if there's a lot going on the outside, like a lot of people right now are very addicted to their phones and other forms of technology.
Oh, my goodness.
Particularly to the news because of how challenging it's been.
Right.
So we can get flooded if we let all that in at once instead of saying, I'm going to check in the morning for 15 minutes and in the evening for 15 minutes, you know.
And you know what's interesting about that, Tina, is that, you know, I kind of grew up with that, you know, and especially being in media. It's been like part of our evolution, you know, from you know, using these antiquated tapes that we'd push into these machines and then using a teletype to get the news or the weather. And now everything that, you know, has kind of evolved into the last, you know, say 20, 25 years, as long as I've been in the business. And it's one of those things where, you are constantly now pummeled with this stuff, and you do need to mindfully just step back. Like, come the weekend, like after I'm done today at like 5 o'clock, it's done. I don't want to look at my phone. I don't want to look at anybody. I want to hear music. I'll put on Christmas music because that'll make me feel good. That'll get my body dancing. I'll tell you that much.
That's beautiful, and it's a really good example of your ego, your guiding sense of self, making discerning decisions in your behalf, you know, so that we're not just subjects of everything that comes to us, but we're also in the driver's seat, and we can make decisions about what works best for us and when and how much and for how long, knowing that it's always available, we can always dip in, but that we don't have to do it on the world's time because it's kind of endless. And, you know, I mean, I might say turn off your TV and turn on your dreams, you know, I mean, just in general to our culture.
Right.
And because TV can be great. And apparently a lot of Americans, at least, you know, watch it up to 4 hours a day.
Yeah, my dog watches far too much TV.
Your dog? Oh, there's some work to do there.
Well, I do put on the Animal Planet, or I'll put on sports, because from what I understand, a friend of mine told me he puts on soccer games for his dog when he's not home because the dog will sit there and watch the ball go back and forth.
Well, if you're at work and they need a little action, I suppose.
Yeah.
They're focused on the movement. You know, what? I have two cats. One of my cats watches things that go on the computer.
Uh-huh.
And the other one walks right past and doesn't seem to see it.
Right.
But here's a funny thing. When I was looking for a partner for my male cat, you know how people do all these dating things, speaking of computers, on matching sites and so forth? I was looking on adoption agencies, SPCA and stuff like that, and my male cat was actually looking at the pictures of the female cats on the computer. So I took a photograph. I can send it to you if you want. It was the cutest thing.
So you were doing a little meowmatch.com.
Yes. Yeah, and it worked. It wasn't who either of us thought it was. You know, these things, there's an internal chemistry. We can't just let the computer do all that.
Yeah, that's true. Let me ask you this, because, again, when people go to your website, and it's your name, or they can go to authenticmovement-bodysoul.com, or, like I said, TinaStromstead.com. It gets you to the same website, gives you the same information, same contact through there as well. They can also see some of the things that you do, and one of the things is called dream dancing. And I think we mentioned it last time we spoke, but we never really got into it. What is dream dancing? What are we talking about here?
Well, dream dancing is something that I developed. I mean, people work with dreams in all sorts of ways. And for me, more personally, when I was young, I remembered my dreams a lot. And I wrote them down in journals. And I was curious about them. And I would think about them during the day. But I didn't really have anyone to talk to about them.
Right.
And there were times when I would move the characters in the dreams, or I would dance the feelings that I had, whether it was joyful or something more somber or something I was wrestling with or navigating. And I realized that there were powerful feelings in the dreams, and that the characters in some ways stood for different parts of the self that had different capacities, different qualities, different kinds of strengths. you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some are more tender. Some are like more tricksterish. Some are very loving. Some are shy. Some are argumentative. You know, they're all different kinds. These are all parts of us. The dreams are trying to outpicture our internal landscape,
uh-huh.
our emotional reality, which we could also say our spiritual reality, you know, our deep, deep feelings. And so when I went to graduate school and got my master's degree, I decided to research this. So my master's thesis way back in 1984 was called Dream Dancing. And I interviewed a lot of dream workers and dancers and tried to see what some of the common themes were and began to develop my own way of working with them. So there are many, many ways. They're as different as the person who's sitting in front of you, excuse me, or the people in the group. And part of how we do that can be as simple as when, let's say, a client is sharing a dream, you're witnessing, watching the gestures their body is making as it describes, as you describe, each of the scenes in the dream. Each scene might have a particular gesture, like some part might be reaching out, another might be holding yourself, another might be beginning to run, you know, another might be finding a safe place and lying down under the trees, you know. There's so many kinds of dreams. And so what I might do is bring the client's attention to the primary gestures for each of the major scenes in the dream, and then invite them to tell me the dream again without words, just with the gestures, just kind of stringing them together like a string of pearls. And by repeating that series of gestures, they get much more into the deeper feeling and meaning of the dream,
right,
without having to do a lot of analyzing, mostly in their head. I mean, you might start by saying, gosh, how do you, you know, do you have any thoughts or feelings about that dream? Or have you ever had an experience like that? Or what happened in the last 24 to 48 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Because often a dream is trying to digest or make sense of your life experience. And all that beautiful work is going on at night. But then after talking about it, you know, I might say, well, let's return to the dream and go and let the body speak as well as the head.
So
the head will also edit stuff out.
Well yeah, because our, you know, naturally we're going to do that, because especially if we're sharing with somebody, we don't want them to think, oh, we're really super weird.
Exactly.
and I guess that's part of where the ego comes in as well.
Yes.
So you're talking about physical movements, and it's almost like are you acting it out? Are you acting the dream out, or just doing random movements?
Well, that's a great question. So the person might just be in their chair. I mean, I go slowly with clients. I really take my cues from their level of comfort, and I make suggestions of possible ways we might enter to work with a dream, and I let them decide what they're ready for. So it may begin with my just simply reflecting back some gestures I saw them do as they were sharing the dream with me. I would always ask permission. You know, I would say, is it okay if it seemed like your body was trying to contribute something
uh-huh.
about the dream? Is it okay if I reflect something back? You know, because it's getting closer to their unconscious in doing that, and people aren't quite used to it. So I'm very respectful about that. And then it might be stringing the major gesture from each of those dream scenes together while they're right there in the chair. Or if there's more energy in some of the movements, like one of the scenes had a kind of running quality. It might be literal running in the
mm-hmm.
dream. One common dream theme is being chased, for
right.
example, you know, by something that you typically need to get to know more about, but in the beginning is frightening. And so the initial response is to take off. So you might do the action of running, but then, for example, slow it down and maybe begin to turn to face what might be chasing behind you and keep the breathing going.
Right.
You know, so there's an example of maybe acting something out that literally happened in a dream, or maybe it was more of a quality of running. You just started moving more quickly. And then you might say, would you like to run around the room? Or how about if I put on some music with a really good rhythm?
Right.
And you let yourself move to the rhythm, which has a real strengthening, grounding, and kind of orienting quality. So that if a person's feeling kind of out of touch with themselves, or they don't really know how they feel, it can help them really center and connect. So it might be more like dance, but it may be more very subtly tuning into what's already happening in the body and amplifying it,
right?
Witnessing it, supporting it.
All right. And again, it can be, you're saying it can be those gestures, nonverbal, you know, just kind of almost interpretive.
Yeah, and actually organic.
Okay.
You know, like how when you're talking with someone, and I mean, some of us use our hands more than others, and some cultures do, right?
Right.
When we're talking. So you're beginning to reach out toward the person, or you're putting your hand on your heart sometimes if you're saying something that's really moving, you know, or you're maybe massaging your shoulders if there's tension. You might not even be aware of it while you're talking. But there's the body talk. There are the subtle dances that are also trying to come through. Again, it would be like the old silent movies. Remember Charlie Chaplin?
Yep.
Yeah. So he didn't use words, but he got so much across.
Right. Well, yeah, because, and let's face it, when it comes down to communication, Tina, 93% of it is nonverbal.
That is right. And in psychotherapy, we often don't tune into that over 90%. You know, a good therapist is going to be watching for things and hopefully reflecting things back,
right,
and hopefully really paying attention to what's happening in their own body, how they're touched and the cues they get. But not everybody is trained in that way. And I think as a dancer, I realized how important it was.
Right.
So I started with movement and only later came on to words.
Right.
Actually, as we do as children, really.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, we got to take a quick break. Again, we're talking with our guest, Tina Stromstedt. She is the owner at Soul's Body out of San Francisco, California. You can go to her website, which is her name, Tina Stromstedt. Stromstedt is spelled Stromsted, TinaStromstedt.com, or give her a call directly, 415-668-7857. We'll take a quick break, come back more with her after these words, right here on All Business Media.
The next step to following your dreams is closer than you think. KDMA and the Actors Studio is an established, reputable talent management and services agency based on the East Coast. Actors, models, singers, voiceover artists, and live entertainers trust their careers with KDMA. Not only does KDMA advise and market talent, they provide talent with the necessary tools to be successful in today's demanding entertainment industry, offering in-house classes, coaching, photo and video services, reel and audio production, showcases, seminars, and more. KDMA makes talent development and advancement simple and affordable. For more information about talent representation and services at KDMA and the Actors Studio, visit KDMA and theactorstudio.com. That's KDMA and theactorstudio.com. Let KDMA take your career to the next level.
South Austin Counseling Services, LLC, SACS, offers the South Austin and surrounding communities professional counseling services of a diverse and committed group of independent mental health professionals. The licensed mental health clinicians at SACS specialize in providing professional counseling and wellness services to individuals, groups, couples, families, teams, and even businesses. Our independent professionals have the education, experience, and complementary specialties that allow us to meet diverse client needs and wants in just one location. So why go anywhere else? If you're looking for professional counseling, psychotherapy, clinical assessments, wellness services, customized training services, or even more, call now to 512-280-5315 or go to our website, southaustincounselingservices.com. You can also email info@southaustincounselingservices.com. South Austin Counseling Services, LLC, your one-stop shop for wellness.
All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable with Rick Delgado. Exclusively on All Business Media.
And welcome to All Business Media, where it is all business all the time. I'm your host, Rick Delgado, and welcoming again. She is back for part two of our discussion today. Tina Stromstedt. She's she is based out of San Francisco, California, owner at Souls Body. Reach out to her, 415-668-7857 or tinastromstedt.com. That's tinastromstedt.com. That'll get you right to her website, authenticmovement-bodysoul.com. And again, Tina, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You were going to say?
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. We
talked
about dream dancing.
You know, I had another thought about dreams,
yep.
If that's okay. They also help sometimes with signaling physical illnesses, sometimes ahead of time. There are times when I've invited people to draw, and they have been able to see areas of red or splotches or in some ways kind of intuiting or the body signaling when there's a tumor or when there's something going on that that's not always accessible. But, you know, ancient people really used dreams a lot in these and other ways. And there's a guy named Arnie Mandel. He's also a Jungian analyst up in Portland, Oregon, who does something he calls process-oriented psychology. And he was kind of paraphrasing Jung when he said, body symptoms are dreams trying to happen in the body. So when we get a symptom, you know, a physical illness, now this is complicated because genetics can be involved, the environment, the way we've been raised, all kinds of things. We all have different levels of vulnerability to things and predispositions. But what can also be true is that if we sit on something, so to speak, for a really long time and create tension patterns, you know, we repress something or we hold it back in one way or another, we can develop blockages in the body, let's say, where life energy isn't running fluidly and freely and easily, and the organ systems can begin to bunch up or block up, or the muscle groups. So we become more vulnerable to what we call psychosomatic illnesses or just things that take hold. So there's an example of this that I wanted to share just briefly. One of my major mentors is a woman named Marion Woodman, who is a Jungian analyst in Canada who died recently. Uh-huh. She's a marvelous woman analyst, writer, international speaker. And she was told that she had to go on dialysis. And she thought, I really don't want to do that for the rest of my life. I mean, some people have to, and she might have had to. But she decided that she would trust in her belief in working with dreams and in listening to her body. And each day, she would lie down on the floor, wrap herself in a blanket, and begin to do what a dream of hers had instructed her to do. She had a dream that said, take a healing image from your dream and drop it into your kidney. And for others, it might be any other place that's hurt or dark or, you know, wounded in some way, needs more contact, awareness. And so she remembered a rose from a dream that she had that she loved. And she intentionally imagined dropping the rose into her kidney and allowed and watched it internally like an act of imagination or a mindful meditation with the image, and then allowed the image to keep unfolding and her body to move with the image of the rose and with the feeling she was having. And it continued to unfold and open up and took her on a journey to places that she needed to know about in her past, as well as qualities and energies that could help her in the present. And there's more to that story, but she thought, I might not remember what I experienced. So she called out her feelings, the images, and her movements that she was doing into a tape recorder, because that's what she had in those days. She transcribed the tape. She reflected on the dream images and the feelings. Then she took them to her analyst in Zurich, where she was training to be a Jungian analyst, and continued to work on them. And over time, working that deeply in the body and with the metaphors and symbols that were connected to her feelings, she actually healed her kidney and wow. never went on dialysis. So that doesn't always happen. You know, it's lucky. But she also had a powerful belief in that and worked with it in ways that she learned to do over time.
Right.
So there's an example of the body and dreaming.
Yeah, definitely. Again, we've been talking with our guest, Dr. Tina Stromstad. Hey, before we go, I know you wanted to end with a little bit of poetry, correct?
Yeah, there's a phrase from Marian, actually. Again, I'd like to honor her as one of my major mentors and somebody I learned a lot from and taught with, who became a dear friend. And here's something from her. She says, "This is your body, your greatest gift, pregnant with wisdom you do not hear, grief you thought was forgotten, and joy you have not yet known."
Right. Great stuff. And again, thank you to our guest, Tina Stromstad. Reach out to her. She's the owner of Souls Bodies in San Francisco, California, 415-668-7857 or TinaStromstad.com, where you can find out more about her, the things she does, such as Souls Body, Authentic Movement, Dream Dancing, Body Soul Work, you name it, it's all there. Find out more about that and the workshops as well. We'll be back with more on All Business Media right after these words.
All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable with Rick Delgado. Exclusively on All Business Media.
It's Thursday night and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.